Luke chapter 7. We continue on with our Sermon on the Mount, Standards of the Master, and just the idea and the thought of the greatest sermon that was ever preached by the greatest preacher. And we'll be finishing up. We're actually in the last section of this sermon. And so the Lord has really been showing us. He's really taught me so many things as your pastor just preaching through this, and just how much He expects and how much He teaches us, and in this one sermon, and what His standards are for us as Christ. And as we start a brand new year, I thought, what a greater thing as we get into this last session, and He's talking about being judgmental. He's really dealing with the last times, the judgment. We all realize that there's a judgment coming. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, is what the Scripture tells us. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So there's this judgment coming. We'll see that come out in this last section. But He's wanting us to really work on ourselves and how we are not to be judgmental. And I want us to think about Don't Be Judgmental, the title of our message. 2016, a great place for this message. Why? Because it's probably one of the greatest struggles that we have, is being critical, being judgmental, being down on others. And I want us to think about that as we start. Let's stand on our feet, Matthew chapter 7. Stand on our feet and reverence God's Word, except for you, Yvonne. You don't have to worry about that, bud, honey. I'm so glad you're here. Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 6, and it says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the first Sunday, 2016. In your name, I pray that your word will go forth. God, touch our hearts where it is that you want it to be touched this morning, and we'll give you the praise. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. This last major section is he's talking about, he's dealing with these struggles that we have. And this might be one of the greatest struggles that we do have in the flesh, and that's being judgmental towards others. I want us to think about, he's been dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees all along in this great sermon, and he's been pointing out to them what true religion looks like in this, against their false religion of what they've established. And so I want us to keep that in mind as we're going through this. And he's going to show us when we get here how this idea of being judgmental and how the scribes used it. You know what they did? They put themselves above everybody else. They made themselves a standard. They actually set a standard, and they act like it was God's standard, but it was actually traditions that they had created themselves. Hello? If we're not careful, we'll hang on to our traditions and make them greater than what God's Word is. And you know what we'll do? We'll judge everybody by those standards, by those traditions, on what we believe. And if you don't line up with that, you know what we do? We become very judgmental. Jesus is saying we should not be like that as God's children. He's telling these, and if we're not careful now, he's not saying, one thing he's not saying is for us to allow any sin. We live in a world today, okay, that under the umbrella of love, it'll say, and it'll tell you that any sin, you're to embrace that, you're to be tolerant. You're to be tolerant, and you're not supposed to say that anything's wrong. That is not what this Scripture is saying. In fact, this whole sermon is dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees. He would be contradicting his own sermon if that's what he was saying. We are, as God's people, to call sin, sin. Okay, we live in a world that says sin is not sin. We cannot do that. So he's not saying in these scriptures, oh, just turn your back on it. We're not to do that. As God's people, as God's house, and God's church, we're to call sin, sin. We're to deal with it in a proper way. It's always in reconciliation, trying to draw somebody back. It's never in a judgmental way to drive people away. Never. We don't see that. And many in our many who stand on biblical principles that confront society are branded as judging. How many people? You're judging me. How many people do we hear use that today? And they'll use these very scriptures and say, you're judging me. True Christianity will always be controversial, okay? A lot of people that stand on heart, on conviction, if you're a person of conviction, they'll label you as controversial or a troublemaker. Christianity's always been controversial. Why? Because it stands against the things of the world. And it'll always be labeled controversial. And any time that we oppose the things of the world and sin, and we stand on biblical truths, it's going to be resisted. It's just part of our world that we live in. But this whole sermon is showing us true religion and what Jesus said. This is what it's supposed to look like. I'm afraid sometimes we make religion into something more, greater than relationship. You know there's a big difference there. Christianity is about a relationship, not religion. Not something that we've made up to fit or look a certain way, but it's about a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we use Christ as our example. He's our standard, and how we treat one another is through that standard of what Christ has shown us. And so He's dealing today with this idea of don't be judgmental. And I want us to look. He's going to give us three reasons why that being judgmental is sinful. And then he'll correct it at the end. He'll show us the correct balance and what it's to look like. But I want us to look at the first reason why it's sinful to be judgmental. It's a wrong view of God. Look at verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Unrighteous and unmerciful judgment is forbidden, first of all, why? Because it manifests a wrong view of God. That you be not judged is a reminder that we're not the final court. We are not judge and jury. We are not the final court, but there stands one on the throne one day that we will give a final word to. And that's God. We're not God. You know, I remind myself every morning. Let me be here a little personal time. Me. I get up in the morning and I pray the first thing I say, it's God, you're God, I'm not. You say, why do you do that? It's a good thing to remind ourselves every day because we want to be on the throne of our life. We just do as human beings. We're not God. He is. And praise God that we're not. Except for this false teaching and doctrine and following these correct standards, it's clearly unscriptural when we judge a person for their life, for their ministry, and certainly for their motives. You know what we'll do? We'll say, I believe they did that because of that. Come on. They acted this way because for this reason. How in the world do we judge motives that only God knows? But we'll do that. God says, don't. He's telling us. James warns us. Remember when we went through the book of James, he said, do not speak against one another. Guys, this is a struggle, and I know 2016 can be purpose in our heart as God's people, as God's children, that we watch what we say about one another, that we're loving, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart is pleasing unto God only. James says we don't speak against one another. Why? Because there's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. It's only one God. He's the one that tests the motives of people's hearts. He's the one that brings the final judgment. And when we act like God, we don't understand and we have a wrong view of Him. Aren't you glad He's merciful and full of grace? And when we don't exemplify that in His children, you know what we do? We give the world a wrong view of what we say that we are. What we say that we stand upon. Whenever we would condemn without mercy because someone does not do something the way that we think they should or believe that their motives are wrong, you know, we pass judgment that only God is qualified to make. The Savior's not calling us to cease from being examining or discerning. You know what He's calling us to do? Stop trying to be God. Play God. When we are judgmental, we have a wrong God. But not only that, a wrong view of others. Look at what it says. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Most people feel free to judge others because why? They feel superior. Come on, think about that. With the Pharisees, that was their problem. What did they think? They thought they were the divine standard. They thought they were living out what they should be and how this is what religion should look like. And so they used that standard. In reality, you know what it was? It was their own standard. God said that many times. He said, you've said this, but let me tell you, this is what the Bible means. He told them through this sermon time and time again. So they thought themselves to be the standard. If we're not careful, that's the world that we live in. We think what we do, what we believe, how we act is the standard that everybody else should line up to. God help us. It's the wrong view of others. Do you know that God made us unique? He brought us together. We have different gifts. We have different talents. He brings us together as a body. I love we're starting our new members class and we're going over the idea of God doesn't just bring people into a church. We just don't come. But He has. He uses your talents. He uses the gifts that He gives you, and He brings us together. Look at us. He brings us together as a ragtag bunch to come together with our different gifts to function in one reason, and that's to bring Him glory. And so we have to appreciate others in that. It's not the standard by measuring them by what we believe or what we think or how we look, but how God made them. He's saying that we have a wrong view of others when we're judgmental. We make ourselves judge and jury. And if we're sitting on that seat that only God can, you know what it is? This is what I want, not what God wants. God is full of grace and mercy like we've talked about already. Oftentimes we're not. We need to practice what we teach. We preach and teach mercy and grace from a loving Savior. You know what we then? And then we condemn our brother by our own standards. Christ has said, don't do that. We're not the final judge, praise God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad we're not the final judge? Aren't you glad that one day we give an account to God, not to our own selves or each other, but we give an account unto God. But now we're accountable as God's children to love one another, to keep each other accountable, that as God's people, we don't allow sin and just go on and not say anything. What kind of love in that? In fact, it says in the Scripture, that's not loving your brother when we just allow any old sin to go by. It'd be like them taking a little bit of poison and we're not going to say anything, right? We don't want to bother them. But they're just taking a little bit of poison every day. What kind of person is that that does that? But we're to love one another. We're to keep each other accountable. We're to live by the standards of God. But we never draw and point fingers and tell people to march by the standard or the drum that we set for ourselves. We're not careful, we become very vindictive, we become very judgmental. To gossip, to tell lies, to be critical and judgmental is to live under the false illusion that those whom we judge are inferior to us. You say, we would never think that. But you think about it, if you're judging them by your standards on what you believe, you're saying, hey, they're a little lower than I am. And if the truth be known, the reason that we talk about people in the gossip, we want to look a little better than they are. You say, well, that's never my motive. It sure is. That's what pride does. It cloaks itself. And many times we want to talk about somebody. Maybe somebody that we don't like. Maybe their personality, you just don't mesh with them. Or somebody that maybe has hurt your feelings, you know what we'll do? Oh, we'll cut them down. We'll whack them and stack them, won't we? Why? Because we want to feel better about ourselves. Jesus said, we can't do that. We can't be judgmental and be His children. We don't gossip. And he also says, you know what he says that kind of judgment is? It's a boomerang. You know what a boomerang is? You better be ready. Why? It's coming back. It's a boomerang. In fact, he says, look, by that judgment that you judge other will be the measure that you're judged by. Hello, can anybody hear that? The way that you judge others will be the way that you are judged. That's what the Scripture says. That's a boomerang effect. It will come back on the one who judges. Self-righteousness is really the center of all this. We're self-righteous. We think we're okay. You know why we think we're okay? We'll measure. We'll find somebody else to measure up to, won't we? Never fails who you put over there. Think of who you were going to put over there. The person that's this or that or whatever you want to be judgmental and critical about. You'll put yourself over there and you're looking pretty good, ain't you? You're thinking that's self-righteousness. Compared yourself to them. Put Jesus over there and see how you compare. The self-righteousness will be gone then. So this idea of this self-righteousness is at the center of it. Self-righteous judgment will become its own gallows. You'll hang yourself on it. Whatever we give out will be measured, God will use, to be measured back to give to us. Well, that'll change the way that we do things if we really believe that, what the Scripture is saying. So not only is it a wrong view of others, a wrong view of God, a wrong view of others, but also a wrong view of ourselves. Look at verses 3 through 5a. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eyes, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? And he says, hypocrite. He uses the big H word, right? Hypocrite. We judge critically, and when we judge critically, we manifest a wrong view of ourselves. We've already seen that putting ourselves through God's place as judge perverts our view of him and others. But then he mentions this speck. And actually the word there means a tiny piece of dust or a splinter. Small in comparison to a plank. Now, you can't help. I got tickled thinking about this. And I think one version is log. So you're walking around with this big old locust post sticking out of your eye, right? And you're saying, what have I got? A little splinter in his eyes over there. And that's what he's comparing it to. He's saying, you know, we need to work on the huge log or plank that's sticking in our eyes before we go pointing fingers at somebody else. Exactly what he's saying. Small in comparison to the speck in your brother's eye. Jesus points out is that the sin of the critic is much greater than the sin of the person that he's criticizing. Log, splinter. See, many times self-righteousness makes us blind to our own sinfulness. Self-righteousness is a sin of blindness that distorts our vision. Guys, here's the deal. 2015 is coming on. 365 days. We're facing now. We're looking at 2016. My question we would throw out to you right now at this point in the sermon would be, are you going to stay the same as you did in 2015? You're just going to go, you know, and a person that says that is satisfied with their self-righteous. They don't realize that the Scripture says that we're to be growing in grace and knowledge of Him daily. And when you become satisfied, when you say, you know, I'm all right, I'm really not going to do anything different, you know what you're saying? I'm okay, I don't need to change, it's everybody else that needs to change. And we're getting right back to where He's hitting on right here. We don't see, you know what, we're all full of sin. We all need to be confessed up. We all need to be striving to be more Christ-like. And if you get complacent and you just pull her back in neutral and say everything's good with me, guess what? You're saying that you're self-righteous. God commands us to grow in His Word, in the knowledge of Him, growing. And if we're not, you've heard me say this many times, if we're not going forward, we're going backwards. There's no hovering with God. You don't reach this plateau and just say, I'm going to sit here a while. If you're not going forward, you're going back. Where are you this morning? Something for us to think about. The very nature of self-righteousness is to justify self and condemn others. That is trust in self rather than God. It is self as the standard of what's right and wrong instead of God. And here's the deal. It denies and it opposes the gospel. What does the gospel say? What did we just, celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ coming to this earth. And we just sang about it. He came, why? To give His life for us. The perfect Son of God, the man that was born of the Virgin Mary, became a man and dies upon a cross for us. And we preach that. We teach that. And we go out and we share to our world that this is what everybody needs. And it preaches, you know what it teaches? It teaches that we are sinful. That shows us that we are sinful, that we needed a Savior. But you know what? It also, on the balance of that, it shows that we needed a Savior. And there's grace and mercy available to anybody that will receive it. That's the gospel. And when we just criticize and we don't show grace and mercy, we're denying what the gospel has taught us and shown us ourselves. Grace and mercy through Christ our Lord. I don't care what you've done here this morning. Don't care. It doesn't matter. You know what? It falls under grace and mercy. Christ died for you. I don't care. You can go back and see, in your mind and you can say, but I did this. How could He ever love me? How could He ever forgive me? That's a lie from the pit. And that's what Satan wants each and every one of us to believe. When the Scripture says, whosoever will, let them come. Whosoever will, let them come and receive the mercy of Christ. And when we're judgmental, we're critical, you know what? We're denying the very gospel that saved us. Why? Because, yes, we're sinful, but Christ's mercy and grace trumps it all. Praise God. When we don't do this, Jesus says, when we don't live and understand the gospel, you know what He calls us? Hypocrites. Big H word. He's a hypocrite. children don't show the love and the mercy that was shown to them, we're hypocrites. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. We're not you know what? We're not superior to anybody else. Nobody that we should ever look down on. We'll stereotype people from the families that they come out of. Come on. Backgrounds, where they live. And we'll stereotype them and we'll just think and we'll write them off. And we'll act like we're superior to them. There's nobody that we're superior to. In fact, my scripture shows me in Revelation chapter 5, there's a whole group of people that's there around the throne of God. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation that come out of a great multitude that are saved. And they're, you know what they're doing? They're around the throne together and they're singing glory and holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We're not superior to anybody. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Two types of people in this world, lost or saved. That's it. Two types of people sitting right here in this room, lost or saved. Which are you today, 2016? He finishes up, he gives us this balance. We understand that being judgmental is a wrong view of God, it's a wrong view of others, it's a wrong view of ourselves, but also he gives us the balance here at 5b through 6. Look what he says. First, remove the plank from your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. You remember last week's message, we were talking about the birds and the lilies, and he tells us to consider things when he said consider the lilies, when he's talking about clothing. This is something that we should consider right now, to meditate on, to think about what God is saying here. We need to think about this own sinfulness that we have until we understand that we need to quit pointing at others and stop casting stones. You remember when Jesus had the woman that was caught in adultery? She was caught. What did they do? They was going to take up stones. You remember what Jesus, he bent down and writes in the sand, and what did he tell them? You without sin cast the first stone. And what did they do? Dropped their rocks and walked away, didn't they? I'm afraid we're toting rocks a lot of times, ain't we? We're toting rocks and we want to throw them at one another. Cast our stones. Jesus said, you without sin, throw the first stone. None of us here can throw a rock. Why? Because we're all sinful. All sinful. He's pointing that out when he's saying he's showing us the right balance. Yeah, we are to take care of the sins in our own life. We remove that plank. And how do we do that? How do we remove that plank, that log that's in our own eyes? Acknowledge that we're sinful. Confess in our sins. We can stay confessed. In fact, it says, 1 John said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's every day. Confessing our sins before God. Not being superior. Not ever feeling like we've arrived. Not ever feeling like we're okay. But it's staying confessed up helps to remove the plank. And we ask God for a cleansing. I don't know about you, but 2016, I need a cleansing. I need to start clean before the Lord. When our sin is cleansed, when it's cleansed, the plank's removed. And then we can see our brother more clearly. See, the problem is our vision is blocked by what? By our own plank. By our own sinfulness. He said, you need to get rid of that before you start dealing or trying to help others. We should never think that we have no right to oppose wrong doctrine, wrong practice in our church. God wants us to be discerning and make proper judgment when required. In fact, I told my new members class today, I should be accountable every Sunday when I stand before you and I preach God's Word, that it's judged through the pages of this Word, that you as God's people should know His Word. You should know if I'm teaching you heresy, if I'm teaching you the full counsel of God. Every Sunday I should be judged by that standard of the message that is preached. And you guys should do that. And I'm welcoming you to do that. Don't let anybody ever stand up here and teach you something contrary to this Word. You don't need agendas. You don't need opinions. You need thus says the Word of God. That's what we need today, especially in America. So we're to have this standard, this balance that we do. We keep things right before God. We don't allow sin. We don't just wink at sin, say it's okay. But we also don't become, I can't help it. Citizens of wrath! I can hear old Gomer. Citizens of wrath! That's what we want to do many times, don't we? Citizens of wrath! We want to point our fingers at somebody else. God says, man, you've got so much to deal with. How can you ever worry about somebody else? He tells us, man, we need to oppose the wrong doctrine, but God wants us to be discerning and properly do things to where we're not judgmental, where we're not critical, where we're not pointing fingers, but we're winning those back that are in sin. We're loving them in a proper way. Because he makes this idea, look, do not give. Look at this statement, one of those tough sayings of God, of Christ. Do not give what is holy to dogs nor cast your pearls before swine. It shows that the Lord's not saying we should never think or oppose the world as it attacks Christianity. In fact, how do we know who the dogs and the pigs are? Right? He's making a statement. He's showing it's not saying, oh, he called him a dog. He called him a pig. That's being judgmental. You see, Christ in his own sermon, he's saying, don't throw these things to the dogs. You know what a dog and a pig, a dog was a very unclean animal. It wasn't your little puppy that you're thinking about right now, okay? My wife's got the little puppy. Oh, he's a cute. He's not talking about that kind of dog, okay? He's not talking about Ace. No. He's talking about dogs back then were scavengers, man. They were wild dogs that were out, and they ate, went through. They were not domesticated at all, and so it was an unclean thing. And a pig, you never see no Jew with a pig pen, okay? It was unclean. It was unclean to them. That was one of the unclean animals that God forbid them to eat back in the Old Testament. And so to eat kosher, they never had a pig. So when Jesus makes this statement, look, do you not think it caught their attention? He's talking about something that's unclean. He said, don't take what is holy and throw it to something that's unclean. And what's he saying? What's the statement that he's making there? He's talking about, you know, we live in a world that's trying to blur that line. Do you understand that? We live in a world that's trying to blur the line of what's holy and unclean. It's trying to say everything's all right. All roads lead to heaven. You believe what you want to believe. You'll get there if you're a good person. That is a lie from hell, okay? This morning, just want you to let you know that. That is not scriptural or biblical. Your truth is not relative. If you believe it, it makes it the truth. That is untruth, okay? There's only one truth. Thy word is truth, O Lord. That's what the scripture said. Only one truth. And if it does not line up, if your life does not line up, if your life is not a standard that's lived by these pages, it's untruth. And it won't get you anywhere but a place that's called hell, separated from God. That's God's word. That's not tolerant. Well, that's very politically incorrect in today's world. But that's the word of God. That's the scripture. And how dare us to sit back and thinking through tolerance and thinking that we're just loving people by not saying nothing. They're on a road marching completely away from God, and we're just going to allow them to march there. What kind of person is not going to throw a rope to a person that's drowning? God said, we can't do this. We can't live that way. They're trying to blur the lines, but you know what he's saying? That heathens don't have no appreciation for the things that are holy. They're ungodly. They care only for themselves. They're on the agenda. All they care about is destroying the things of God. You know that you live in that world today. It don't take you long to turn on certain channels and see the agenda. You live in that world. They want to turn the things. All right, what are we supposed to do? How is it that we're supposed to handle it? And God said, don't throw what's holy to the dogs or the pigs. You pray for them, you love them, tell them about Jesus, and you leave it in the hands of God. All we can do. But we live a divine standard before them, and we don't compromise. And in love, we go on in Jesus' name, and we love one another, and we're different from how the world does things. How does the world do things? Well, it criticizes, it talks about, it gossips, it does all these things, and it's no conviction. Why? Because there's no standard. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't live like the world. The world wants to turn and tear you to pieces, okay? Why? Because if you live by the standard, if you live by God's word, it convicts. Because they can see their life. I don't know how many times I've been called names, but just living, not saying anything, just living differently from the other guys. They call you all kinds of names. Why? Because because how you're living convicts them because you're living by a standard. Their standard is what they make up, what's right and wrong. Live by God's standard. Take it on the chin for Christ. Don't be judgmental. 2016. Are you going to do anything different than you did 2015? Because if you're not planning on it, you don't have plans, what are you doing? You're saying you're all right. I'm all right. You become complacent and satisfied. You know what you do? You just pull her into overdrive and just ride it on out. But what are we sacrificing? Our kids. Everything around us, our relatives, the people that we love, because we're not growing in grace and God and knowledge and saying, you know what, Lord, 2016 is a brand new year. Help me to do more like Christ in 2016. How do I do that? Staying in His Word, praying, fellowshipping together, not taking or leaving church. It's not, that's not a tradition. Church is becoming a traditional thought. We forsake not the assembling of ourselves so much more as we see the day approaching. That's what the Word of God says. Do you see the day approaching? Let me ask you. Do you see the day approaching? It says, forsake not the assembling of yourself. That means come together regularly, worshiping together God. This is how we grow in grace and knowledge. 2016, are we going to do things the same way? Something for us to think about. Let it come and play. Let's to think about these applications before we're going to have the time of decision. What about you? What about this year? 2016, will you keep doing the things you've always done, thinking that you're okay? The Bible tells us that we're to grow. Are we going to just keep on doing the same old way because we're okay? Or how about how critical are you of others? Do you gossip more than you pray? Hello? Do you gossip more than you pray? Only you can answer that. Are we critical? Are you one of those people you just criticize people, cut them down, point fingers, judgmental? Could be that. You know what? Could be that's all you've ever known. It could be mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, when they got together, that's all they did. You know what? It's time to break that cycle if it is. When was the last time you took a look at yourself instead of pointing out everybody else's sin? Let's stand to our feet this morning. Well, 2016. What are you going to do? You going to just be satisfied with what you did in 2015? Just keep on riding the mule? Or are you going to give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to grow in you this year? And you know what? That comes with a cost when we say that. It comes with really believing and saying, Lord, you know what? I need to grow in you. How about how critical are you? How much do you gossip? How much do you cut down people? Are you one of those people? Hey, guess what? I got a good news for you. You don't have to stay that way. Just give the Lord and say, you know what, 2016, I'm not going to be that way, Lord. Why? Because I want to glorify you. Do you gossip more than you pray? Brittany's getting ready to sing on the first verse. God spoke into your heart. What a great way to start out 2016 on the altar and say, you know what, Lord, I just want to be more like you. 2016. Don't hesitate when you start singing. Go ahead, Brittany. Well, people are coming. How about you? Brand new year. New start. Do you know you got a relationship with Christ? It might be your heart is beating right now. You know that the Holy Spirit's revealed to you that you need Jesus. Don't you hesitate. That's why we're here. Answer the Lord's call. If you know you're lost, you've never received Christ, come forward. However He's speaking to you, just be obedient this morning. altar is full, both sides, but it ain't going to be enough if you don't come. If you're being disobedient, don't you start 2016 like that. You listen to the Lord. Hold on just a minute, Brittany. Let's close our eyes for the Lord. Hey, I don't know. He's wanting to deal with somebody today. You look in your heart. Nobody's looking around. What's there? Do you know that you've come to that place in your life that you've received Christ as your Savior? You prayed and asked Him to forgive you of your sin. And you received Him as your Savior. And you know that your life's been changed. Not, well, I sure hope I have. There's going to be evidence in your life if you're a child of God. There ain't any evidence if you're not His child. You don't know that He's there for sure. All you have to do is say these words, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. I'm asking you this morning, first Sunday in 2016, to come in my heart and forgive me my sin. Lord, give me the strength to live for You from now on in Jesus' name. And by the power of the Scripture of God, it said if you pray to receive that, everybody calls on the name of the Lord, will be saved. And believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That's the greatest thing that you can do. You made that commitment today. I want you to make sure and tell me, too, on your way out. Still people here at the altar. We're just going to play softly. We're going to give them time. Everybody look here. Look at me. I love you. Anything I can do for you, visitor. Ain't no such thing as a visitor. You come here, you're part of family. We love you. Anything I can do for you, please let me know. I'm here, right here. If you don't have Jesus, please don't miss out on the greatest thing here, man. He can save me. He can save anybody, okay? I can share my own story with you. Don't mess around with eternity. You're playing craps with eternity, dialing their dice, because there's no promise of you ever getting back in here tomorrow. No promise of tomorrow. So don't gamble with eternity. Make sure that that's right. I love you anyway. 2016, I hope, is a banner year for South Fort Baptist Church, not because we want to grow South Fort, but because we want to see the kingdom grown and people discipled and coming to know Jesus Christ. Donnie closes the